Shrink Wrap Radio. All the psychology you need to know, and just enough to make you dangerous.
Shrink Wrap Radio number 98, Sound Seeing at a Dream Conference, July 3rd, 2007. Welcome to Shrink Wrap Radio, the planet's premier psychology podcast. This is your host, Dr. Dave, coming to you from the San Francisco Bay Area. Shrink Wrap Radio is the show that speaks from the psychologist in me to the psychologist in you, whether you be amateur, student, or professional. Hello, everybody. I'm back again, and it feels like I've been gone for a long time. I feel like I've been away for a month. But in fact, I've just spent the past 5 days at the International Association for Dreaming 24th Annual Conference here in Rohnert Park, California, at Sonoma State University, where I taught for so many years. And of course, if you're a regular listener to the show, you've known this has been coming up because I've been talking about it quite a bit. I've interviewed a number of the people who were going to be presenters, both to promote the show and to give you the conference and to give you a real taste of what was going to be covered there. And there were 5 days of workshops and presentations, morning, daytime, and nighttime. So it's been a real whirlwind. And in some ways, I feel like I am emerging from a dream, or I'm still in the dream, and I'm just now coming out of it to share with you some of excitement and interest observations from the conference. IASD is really a wonderful organization, and I'll tell you, one of the things that I find so wonderful about it is there's such a fine balance between research and practice. You know, we all give lip service to the importance of these two worlds coming together, but I can't think of any other place where it happens as openly and freely and effectively as it does at IASD. There's just a real balance of academic researchers, therapists, and non-therapist dream workers. And all of the presentations were pitched at a very high level. I was impressed, for example, by the number of clinicians or therapists who I heard do presentations, and they would make references to the research. They were familiar with the research literature and were using that to inform their practice. At the same time, I heard researchers careful to qualify the limitations of some of their research, acknowledging that, you know, that this is within the confines of a laboratory and may not capture all the richness of, quotes, the real world. And also, some of the researchers are in dual roles of being both researcher and practitioner of one sort or another. And so there's just a lot of cross-fertilization, and people really listen to one another's perspectives. So if for no other reason, that makes this a very exciting organization. And by the way, I'm not paid to say any of this. I need to make clear. All you need to join is just the interest. There are no barriers to joining, so people can join at any level. So if you're very interested or slightly interested or passionate about dreams, you really should look into this organization. There are newsletters and a journal and regional activities, and then, of course, this annual conference, which next year is going to be in Montreal. So, you know, I can't begin to tell you about all the sessions that were offered there, as there were usually like 5 or 6 different events happening at the same time. And so I was in that very difficult position of having to choose, well, will I go to this one or go to that one? And often you had to give something up, you know, that you really would have liked to have heard about both. Certainly that was true for me, and I know that was true for other people. And such a wide range of activities were covered. For example, there were research sessions evaluating various theories of dreaming and consciousness. There was a session on dreams that inspired jihadi terrorists. There were studies of the dreams of video gamers. There were lots of experiential workshops presenting various approaches to dream work using everything from Tarot to projective group methods, to Tibetan yogic practices, to energy psychology, to the use of art and collage and poetry and so on. There were sessions on ethics, especially in relation to working with victims of trauma. And the list just goes on and on. Now, unfortunately, I couldn't record the actual sessions for you. I'm not going to have those, although you, I believe you'll be able to order some of them if you're interested for a price on the IASD website. They record sessions and have CDs for sale. They had them at the conference, so I assume that it will be possible to buy those off the IASD website as well. That's IASD.org. And so unfortunately, I couldn't record the actual sessions for you, but I did manage to grab some of the folks who were presenting and attending there. And of course, I should hasten to remind you that you got a lot of benefit from my, I hope you got a lot of benefit from my interviewing a number of the presenters before the conference in earlier shows. And so you did get a good glimpse of some of the topics that were going to be covered and some of the presenters. And of course, I made so many connections at the conference that I think you can expect that there are going to be quite a few more shows having something to do with dreams. And I hope that's agreeable with you, because as a result of attending, you know, I've got a long list of people who I think will make great interviewees. So you've heard of a sightseeing tour, right? Well, I functioned as your roving reporter at the conference, conducting brief interviews among a number of attendees and participants. And what I'm hoping to provide you with here in the following voice clips is a kind of sound seeing tour that hopefully will give you some sense of what it was like to be there. So let's just jump into these audio clips, and I apologize for my lack of imagination. As I listen back, it sounded like I started everyone out exactly the same way. Okay, so here I am with Nicole Graton, who was a presenter at this Dream Conference 2 years ago in Berkeley. And so what brings you here this time?
Oh, again, because of my passion of dreams. So meeting with the other people who are passionate about that subject and listening about a new research proving that dreams are real, that dreams are helpful. So for me, it's kind of resourcement and to give back when I'm back in Montreal to teach dreams. So I have new stuff in my mind and in my also in my dreams. So it's for me, it's nourishing.
That's wonderful. And do I recall correctly that you've written some books? If so, give us some titles. Listeners might want to look them up.
Okay. So my books for now are only in French, and two of them are translated in Italian, but none of them in English yet.
Well, I do have some listeners in both France and Italy.
Oh, that's nice. Okay. So the first one, c'est L'art de rêver, The Art of Dreaming. The second one is for children, Rêve et Complice, so Dreams and Ally. I have another one, The 15 Principles of Dreams, so how to understand the multifunctions of dreams. And I have one on how to find your personal mission in life with dreams. And I also have one about dreams and telepathy and dreams and precognitive experiences. So I have 14 of them.
Wow, 14 books. And do I recall correctly that you have some sort of dream institute in Montreal?
Yes, I do. Since 1992, this Dream Institute is open to the public, and I work with the 15 dream workers who teach dreams with the workshops I conceptualize in the last 15 years.
How exciting. Well, I look forward to the opportunity to interview you at greater length sometime in the future. Nicole, great seeing you here again.
It was my pleasure. Thank you to you.
Okay, well, I am standing here with Gary Goodwin, who is from Alexandria, Virginia, and he really caught my attention when I walked into the room, because it turns out he's a shrink wrap radio listener who I was not expecting to meet here. He's also a presenter. Gary, say a word about your experience with shrink wrap radio, and then tell us what you're going to be presenting on.
Well, I discovered your podcast probably about 4 months ago, so now I have either the blessing and the curse of I have to get caught up. You tell me you have, what, 99 recordings. That means I have about another 80 to go. So, but they're great. The variety of topics, they're there. There are topics I want to hear about, and the guests are great. So it's honest.
And I take it you did not learn about this conference from my podcast, but you're already a member of this association.
Yes, yes, former board member. I discovered the association back in 2003, been to many of the conferences since then. So it's wonderful to meet various people here. I always come back invigorated plus knowledgeable.
And what's your presentation going to be on?
Well, there's very few teachers, and this isn't busting my arm to pat myself on the back, but what I teach is active imagination. And it's something I think has been totally overlooked in the 20th century and now the 21st century. Jung talked about it, but it's that space between as you go to sleep at night and as you wake up in the morning, hypnagogic space, very important. You can do a lot of great stuff with that.
Well, I find it very interesting that you gave me your card, and you work in urban planning. So how in the world did you get into this Jungian active imagination stuff?
Well, I think most people are called, may they go into psychology, but most people are called and they keep with these sort of interests throughout their entire life. So when I was, 20 years old, I said, well, what is this about? What is psychology? Or what is really inner development about? And that has stuck with me, you know, called or uncalled. It's always been there. It's always been there in the background. So,
okay, well, thanks a lot, Gary, and keep listening to Shrink Wrap Radio.
Thank you. I will.
Okay, well, I'm sitting outside. It's a beautiful day here. And I've just met a psychologist from Switzerland, Anita Leuthold. So, Anita, welcome.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about how you come to be here at this, what is this, the Association for the Study of Dreams conference.
Yeah, this is my third time I come to the conference. And I'm working with dreams at home. I have a dream group, and I make seminars and give talks about dreams. And so for me, it's very interesting to be here to get some new ideas and for my own work in Switzerland. And it's fascinating for me to meet all the people who know so much about dreams, dream research, and...
Okay, and this is the first day. We've just had two workshops. Have you learned anything today? Has anything impressed you as a new learning?
I just have been in that workshop with Gail Delaney.
Yes.
And I also work in a similar way. So it just... affirmed me to work with a very precise descriptions. That's the fundamental to work for the work with dreams, to have a rich description of the dream first and not make interpretations, and just to be careful what details we can find in the dreams.
Okay, well, that's a wonderful recap of Gail Delaney's presentation. And so I want to thank you for being willing to speak on the microphone here, and I hope I'll see you in future years at the conference.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm sitting out here with another participant of the conference whom I've just met. Your name?
I'm Wolfgang Ronnefeld, and I live in Willits, and I love dreams.
Yeah, Willits is just up the road from here, so you love dreams. Say a bit more about that.
So dreams have been a gift in my life. At night, they come and they go, and they are enigmatic as they are, but they also give me a chance to find guidance in my life. So in certain times of crisis or I don't know what to do, I have found that dreams can just show me a direction where to head and how to make a decision. And, you know, in this society, dreams are generally not really valued too much. And so coming to a conference like this, you have an instant dream tribe.
Yes, you do. And I think you mentioned that you're also a professional dream worker or a counselor. Just say a little bit about that.
Well, I have in the past facilitated dream groups, and I just finished one in the spring for a month, and that has been a very rich and rewarding experience. And, you know, people come together and they share their dreams, but they also share their lives. And you think you have a wonderful, safe dream, and everybody else sees the emperor's lack of clothes and can point it out to you. And that experience, on one hand, is a very humbling one, but on the other hand, also very revealing what you need to know for yourself.
Yes, thank you so much. We've got to run on to our next workshops, which are going to come now, but it's been a pleasure to meet you.
Right. Take care.
It's the second morning of the Dream Conference here at Sonoma State University, and I'm sitting outside on a bright, sunny morning, and I've just met Andrea Koch from Germany. Hello, Andrea.
Hi, nice to meet you.
And what do you do there in Germany that brings you all the way over here to attend this Dream Conference?
I'm studying counseling, and I would like to learn to work with people and their dreams.
Okay, and you just gave me a very exciting piece of information about shrink wrap radio. Maybe you could repeat that for our listeners.
Yeah, I just saw it on the internet 2 days ago, and I was really excited because you have a lot of interviews with people here at the conference. And it's hard for people in Europe, you know, to get in contact with them in between the conferences, and even the conferences are very far away.
Okay, well, you can imagine how exciting it is to me. You're the second person that I've met here who, without my having to come and press the knowledge upon them, have spontaneously come up and said, hey, I've been listening to your show. So that's very gratifying. And is there any particular topic that you're interested in or looking forward to in the conference here?
No, not particularly one. It's just there's so much to see. It's hard to choose where to go to.
It is hard to choose, and we've got one coming up in just a few minutes, and we're both scanning the program, trying to figure out where we're supposed to be or where we want to be and how we're going to get there. So thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I've just run into David Gordon, who I think was my second or third guest when I started Shrink Wrap Radio, and now we're almost at show 100. So David Gordon, say hello.
Hey, hello. How you doing?
And I see you're wearing the presenter tag. So tell us a little bit about what you're going to be presenting on here.
Well, I'm going to be talking about the relationship of dreams to what Carl Jung called holding the tension of opposites, the ways in which our dreams show how we're often, in fact, almost always caught between opposites in our lives, whether it's in relationship or in other venues of our life, and how our dreams show us a way out of that feeling of kind of being on the cross as far as not knowing which way to go between the various opposites in our lives.
That sounds like a very juicy topic indeed. And I remember the session that I sat in on that you did 2 years ago in Berkeley and how inspired I was by that one. And at the time, you said that that might turn into a book. Has that happened?
That has happened. I just published this in this past year, Mindful Dreaming. And it goes into a lot of what I was just talking about a few moments ago and the relationship of Buddhist and other spiritual principles as they relate to dreams and how dreams kind of elucidate and demonstrate the importance of mindfulness and you know, show us the way in that regard.
Wow, wonderful. Is this something we can find on Amazon.com?
It certainly is. Yeah. just look up Mindful Dreaming.
Okay, I'm going to look forward to that. Well, it's so good to run into you here.
Well, same here. Nice to talk again.
Okay, now I'm sitting here in a classroom, a secluded classroom, with Josh Lachman, who, well, I'll let you tell the story, Josh, about how you got to be here.
Well, I've been listening to Shrink Wrap Radio, and I've been listening to some interviews about dreams, and I've been keeping a dream log, and it's really got me back into working with my dreams even more. And I heard about the conference, and somehow it had escaped my knowledge, and I'm only a couple hours away, so I came up for some of it.
Yeah, and that was it was so neat for me, both to have a listener show up here, and actually you are the third or fourth person that kind of came up who didn't come as a result of my promoting this conference, but said, hey, I've been listening to Shrink Wrap Radio. So that's very gratifying. So here's Josh. We're in a workshop called, do you remember the name, Waking?
Using Dream Techniques for Your Waking Life.
Yeah. The idea that just as you can become lucid in a dream, we can be more lucid in our waking life and kind of look at the real events of waking life like a lucid dream. So we're sitting in a circle. That's what the workshop is about to get started. We've done an exercise or two, and I see the stranger across the room who gets up and comes over to me, and it's Josh. And he says, hi, I'm Josh, and we exchange some email. Am I telling the story right?
Yes.
And I'm a listener of Shrink Wrap Radio, and I told you in an email that I was going to come up for a day. And to me, that was a good example of a waking dream. I mean, there's a sort of dreamlike quality, that we meet in this way.
This whole conference is like a waking dream because people who aren't here are asking me, well, what did you learn at the conference? And a lot of it can't be summed up in simply a list of techniques or a factoid, but it's hearing people's stories, the interactions as people tell their dreams and work on their dreams, and all the ahas and insights that come in the melting pot of the groups doing the exercise.
Well said. You're absolutely right. And I've actually experienced a little bit of panic as I thought about trying to put together a show, where I could talk intelligently about all the things I've heard, and it's really kind of a overload, and it'd be very hard to capture.
Right. It's the experience of working on your dreams a lot with other people and seeing how they do it, and it's a lot of this is art as well as science. A lot of it is art, and we're creating art, and we're learning things on a lot of different levels.
Well said. It's been great meeting you in this dream, and I'll see you in the Shrink Wrap Radio dream down the line.
See you then. Bye-bye.
Okay, I'm sitting here with Lou Haygood. Haygood. Lou Haygood, who I met a couple years ago at the Dream Conference in Berkeley. Do I recall correctly that you are a psychoanalyst?
Yes, I'm a Freudian-trained psychoanalyst, but I am comfortable with all influences on psychoanalysis, as well as very early ones, shamanism and spirituality, the whole panorama.
Yes, which makes you an interesting and unusual psychoanalyst, I think, and you're doing a presentation here. What's your presentation going to be on?
It's on quantum dreaming, in which I'm paralleling the development of dream work over the 20th century with the development of physics over the 20th century, from classical physics corresponding to classical dream interpretation with Freud, on through projection and collective aspects that parallel quantum theory, and finally string theory and Montague Ullman's dream sharing and dream group experiences late in the century.
That really sounds fascinating. I hope I get to attend. I know that I'm attending some CE unit courses on ethics that I need to log in order to renew my license, and there may be a conflict. So if you don't see me, that'll be what happened. And where do you practice?
In New York City. I help my wife with a business from 9 to 5 and then see clients in therapy, mostly dream therapy, in the evenings. So it's a nice combination.
Yeah, what a fascinating life you've put together. It's great to run into you again, Lou, here. And I guess next year I'm hoping that I'll run into you at this conference in Montreal.
Thanks. And I see that Sigmund is on your microphone, so I feel right at home. Thanks.
Yes, indeed you should. Okay, I'm here with Dr. Michael Pinkston, a good friend of mine who I was happy to see has shown up at this conference. Michael, what brings you here?
Well, a long time interest in dreams and the fact that it's right here on our university.
Yeah, and I know that you have a long-standing interest in Jungian psychology. Maybe you can say something about that.
Early in my education, doctoral education in psychology, I got to do some studies at the Jungian Institute down in Los Angeles. Actually, when I say studies, I wasn't taking formal classes. I was just attending workshops, but got involved in working with a Jungian analyst, and that really sort of piqued my interest in dreams.
Yes, yes. And I should mention that Michael works in the counseling center here at Sonoma State University and has for a number of years, and we've also served on some boards together, and we like going out to lunch and dinner together periodically.
That's true. We have a lot of very stimulating conversations about things such as dreams and hypnosis and certainly altered states of consciousness.
Yeah, and I hope to have you as a guest for a fuller show on here at some point, so you keep that in mind.
I'll certainly do that, David.
Okay, and enjoy the rest of the conference. I'm sitting here with Patricia Garfield, who is one of the progenitors of modern interest in dreams. And, what was the name of that wonderful book that inspired me so much?
Creative Dreaming, probably.
Of course. How could I forget about that title, Creative Dreaming? It influenced so many of us. I see that, and you've gone on to write a number of other books. You said 9. We'll see what titles you can remember here.
Pathway to Ecstasy, The Way of the Dream Mandala, Your Child's Dreams, Women's Bodies, Women's Dreams, The Healing Power of Dreams, The Dream Messenger, How Dreams of the Departed Bring Healing Gifts, The Universal Dream Key. I don't think I'm probably missing one or two, but my latest that I'm really excited about that just came out is number 10. It's called Morning Dove, Dream Poems.
Oh, wow. What's the premise of that, or the structure?
Well, it's a very personal one. My husband died about 5 years ago, and with my background in clinical psychology, I knew therapy would be good for me, and I did grief therapy, and I did group therapy, and I did art therapy for grief, and explored many avenues, David, but the thing that really worked for me was hitting upon poetry. It resembles dreams in a certain way.
Yes, very similar processes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have the overlap of metaphors that come from deep emotion, and somehow poetry, the structure of poetry, gave me something in which to pour my feelings of grief, and yet because the poem came to an end, they have a form, I could weep like mad while I was writing, but then finish and let it go. I still get kind of teary when I read some of them, but it did something for me that the other forms of therapy that I had tried hadn't. And I find that material that I write about that moves me very frequently has an emotional effect on other people too. And I'm truly touched to see that it's meaningful to other people in the same way. And one said to me the other day, you've put into words things that I have felt, but I wasn't able to say.
That has to be so gratifying.
It truly is. It's a deeper satisfaction somehow than I don't know. At this age, at this stage of life.
Can we talk about that?
Of course. I'm 72. And I think what we do has to come from the heart. And it should be things that are really meaningful to us. We don't have that much time to fool around. Or build,
I hear you, sister.
Yeah, or build a career and to do all of the heavy focusing we do in other areas. Now's the time to pull it together and to see, you know, what life has meant to us.
Mm-hmm. Now, I see you're a presenter, and so what are you going to be presenting at here?
Actually, it's very relevant. I'm speaking about my work with a group at Dominican University of California that are part of the OLLI program, or OLLI program, depending how you pronounce, O-L-L-I, which stands for Osher Lifelong Learning Institute.
Yes, I know that program.
And this is a wonderful arrangement where people over 50, and there are more and more of us every day, as you undoubtedly know, the 78 million who are coming up. It's specifically designed for older people. The issues that we are dealing with as we approach retirement, as we try to transition, as we deal with grief, loss, as we cope with aging process, and still looking for meaning and creativity mm-hmm. and joy in our lives. And dreams help us do all of that. I love teaching this group. They're incredibly bright, and it's an entirely new market in the sense of these are people who weren't necessarily exposed to the dream movement. And it gives them guidance and insight into what's happening to them now.
That's excellent. I actually had a similar experience getting to teach through, I think it's an Osher-related or inspired program here at Sonoma State University called Lifelong Learning Institute.
Yes, and, it's the same.
And I taught about 80 people my age and older.
Uh-huh. And they love it.
Yeah, and they really ate it up. So, Patricia, I hope I get maybe to do a phone interview with you sometime in the future, and we can have a really full-on interview.
I'd be delighted. Be a pleasure.
Okay, I'm sitting with Roger Martinez from New Mexico. Roger, and I see you're a presenter. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what brings you here.
Well, I've enjoyed dreams for a lifetime, and probably about 15, 17 years ago, somewhere in between there, got involved with the Association for the Study of Dreams when the conference was in Santa Fe. And then I had found out about it the week before the conference. I wasn't able to attend the full conference, so I was able to just go to a few workshops here and there. But that was enough to hook me in. And I wasn't able to go to the following year, as my brother was getting married, and he wants to have the wedding on the date of the conference, so I had to give up the conference that year. But I made a commitment to myself that I wanted to become more involved in just from the connection of dreams initially. Eventually it grew to a gentleman at that next conference I went to, which was in Berkeley, and he asked me what I was going to present on the next year. I said, well, I don't present.
What? Me present?
Yeah, that's right. And he said, well, you've gone your first year, you got to present next year. So I went home with that idea. And I thought, I went through it and over and over and over. What am I going to present on? Because I took it serious. I knew he was joking, but I took it serious as a challenge to my own self.
And I take it then that you're not a professional therapist or counselor?
I am. I am.
You are.
Yes, I do substance abuse counseling. Licensed in the state and nationally certified. And up to then, I hadn't done any work on dreams. I had been interested in forever. But I began doing some... A client came with a dream, so we were able to talk about it. And I thought, wow, this is actually helpful. It wasn't about interpreting it. It was about guidance. And I took it from there, and I basically followed that idea ever since. That following year, I decided, as far as an actual workshop, I don't have the
any papers or any history or anything to talk about. But I thought, I can lead a group. I've done tons of groups of other kinds. I did a group that summer in Santa Fe. I thought, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to apply to present the Morning Dream Group. So I did that. And since then, I did a several. And then I translated the Dream Group into an afternoon workshop.
Oh, very good. So is that what you're doing this time is an afternoon workshop?
Yes. It's an afternoon workshop where I'm working with Athena Liu. She's out of Hawaii. And we connected back then at the Hawaii conference and have since been working together almost every year when we make it. And it's a real simple group that's like brings out so much because people get to act out the dream, and they get to choose people from within the group to portray different aspects of the dream and the different symbols. And there's dialogue, and it's usually a really amazing breakthrough.
Well, that really sounds wonderful. Thanks so much for taking time to talk to me, and I hope you have a very rich rest of a conference.
Thank you, and sweet dreams, everybody.
Okay, well, here I am back at the conference again after having taken a break for dinner. It's Sunday evening. Come back for the evening session, and I just happened to see someone in the parking lot who had kind of tagged as someone that I'd really like to speak to. So maybe you can tell our listeners what your name is and who you are.
My name is Veronica Smith. I'm an interfaith chaplain.
Yeah, and that really interested me. We were in a workshop together, and you spoke up. It was a workshop on ethics related to dealing with trauma and trauma dreams and what kind of ethical considerations might be involved. And you spoke very, very passionately and very eloquently on that. So tell me a little bit about, you know, so many of the people here are come from a background of being therapists or else they're academics or they're dream workers. I think I've met one other person who's a chaplain here. It seems like it's not a common career choice. So just say a little bit about that. What drew you to it? Where did you get trained?
Well, I got trained at the Chaplaincy Institute in Berkeley, California. And what drew me to it is my whole life I've been involved with healing and spiritual practices, and particularly interfaith or, you know, cross-cultural, and have practiced in many different traditions. And so it gave me a vehicle to be able to offer, you know, spiritual help. They call it, traditionally it's called spiritual care. Mm-hmm. Chaplains offer spiritual care. But my definition of that is that whatever helps restore people to meaning and wholeness is spiritual care. So it can be what is thought of traditionally as religious or spiritual, or it can just be the process of exploring who you are and what has meaning and what brings you into wholeheartedness in life.
So it sounds like you would be able to work with people from different religious traditions rather than just a certain one?
Right. That's what the interfaith training is. It's not that you're an expert in every tradition, and it's not that you're just, you know, a little piece in everything and have no orientation yourself, but it's a training in, and of course the training itself is a beginning, and then it's the personal immersion in it more deeply on my own. But it's not being knowledgeable about and respectful of many different faith traditions and spiritual orientations, or even people who don't identify as even being spiritual but are just looking for that connection, a deeper connection in life. And so many people have a particular orientation and they still would like to talk to someone that is interfaith sometimes, because it gives them freedom to explore questions or doubts or different areas that they might feel a little reluctant otherwise. And many other people have no particular orientation, and so they welcome that openness.
Do you have a job as a chaplain somewhere?
Well, I'm not a hospital chaplain, or, you know, many chaplains work either for the military or the police or hospice or hospital. I do one-on-one individual counseling. I also did training in spiritual direction, which is a misleading term. It just means spiritual counseling or spiritual guidance.
And so where does this dream conference fit into all that?
Well, my whole life I've been interested in dreams and symbols and mythology cross-culturally, and so I, on my own, studied all of that and through my own exploration and through working with different mentors. But In the Chaplaincy Institute training, I already knew Jeremy Taylor and had trained with him, but he also offered a dream work certificate training. So it's like dream work as pastoral care or as, you know, spiritual direction. So, but for me, dreams are a way of accessing the deepest part of oneself, and they're a way of holding your wholeness and working with the parts that need help and need support, but without focusing on it as a fix-it. You can do it that way, of course, but dreams just come from such a spontaneous, deep part of us, always, I think, drawing us towards something more whole.
Veronica Smith, thanks so much for talking with me, and it's a pleasure to meet you. I am sitting here with
Hermine Mensing from Amsterdam, the Netherlands.
Okay, and what brings you to this conference?
Yes, I'm a member for a longer period, and I have done many conferences. And last year I became a board member from IASD, so I'm thrilled to be here again.
And you were telling me just a little bit about your work in Amsterdam. I believe you're a therapist. Say a little bit about that.
I work in a private practice, and I have done that for 14 years now. I started in another city, and then the last 5 years I'm working from my office in Amsterdam.
Okay, what keeps you coming back to this dream conference? You've come a long way.
I'm a long-time dream journaler. I was 12 when I started to write down my dreams. And then in 1994, by coincidence, I met Stefan Kaplan-Williams. And he said, well, there is a dream conference in Leiden, in your own country. So I was so amazed to hear that, and I started to get there the first time. And then I came all the time afterwards.
Well, that's great. I'll look forward to seeing you in subsequent conferences if I keep showing up. Thanks a lot.
We would like to introduce it in Amsterdam, I can tell you.
Okay, well, I would love to attend in Amsterdam. I've been there once. It's a lovely city.
Yes. So I have next year we have Montreal, and so maybe 2009 or 2010 will be Amsterdam.
Wonderful. I'll look forward to that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and you are?
Kirsten Showquist from San Francisco.
And Kirsten, tell me how you got here.
By car today. I'm about to enter grad school, and one of the things that I'm interested in is dreams, our dreams, and had heard about this association about 6 months ago, and then especially when you started talking about it on your podcast, I was like, yep, this is something I need to check out.
Ah, another Shrink Wrap Radio listener. That so delights me.
Yes, I've been listening almost since the beginning, and I have favorite shows that I simply cannot delete from my iTunes, so they'll probably be there for quite a long time. I listen and re-listen and find something new in each one. It's wonderful.
This is the perfect place for me to cut. Thanks so much. I'm sitting here with Robert Wagoner interrupting his dinner as he's trying to eat, but all conference I've been wanting to get him aside for a few words because I've attended two different panel presentations that he's done on lucid dreaming. So, Robert, just tell us a little bit about who you are and your work in lucid dreaming.
Thanks, David. So I'm Robert Wagoner. I'm the co-editor of the Lucid Dream Exchange, which people can find at www.dreaminglucid.com, and that's a quarterly publication that's free via email, where we interview lucid dreamers and have articles on lucid dreaming, and also solicit lucid dreams from our readers. So something I've been doing for the past 30 years is lucid dreaming. Back in 1975, I was a junior in high school, and I happened to read Carlos Castaneda's third book, Journey to Ixalan, the lessons of Don Juan. And I came across this little segment that said that a person, by looking at their hands before they go to sleep, might find their hands in their dreams and then realize they're dreaming. So, being a persistent and very disciplined high school kid, every night before I went to sleep, I'd look at my hands and I'd tell myself while I was looking at my hands that tonight I'll see my hands in my dreams and realize I'm dreaming. So about 3 days later, after doing this each night before I went to sleep for 4 or 5 minutes, I was having a dream that I was walking through my high school, and all of a sudden my hands popped just right in front of my face, and I go, oh my God, my hands, I'm dreaming. This is a dream. And that was the beginning of my lucid dreaming career.
And what a career it's been. I believe I heard you say you've had something like 20,000 lucid dreams, or was that somebody else?
That was somebody else. I'm only up to 1,000 lucid dreams.
But. Oh, only 1,000. My goodness. Now, you know, this might sound like pretty esoteric stuff to some of our listeners out here, but Robert, I see you're from Ames, Iowa. You're from Middle America. And that's one of the things that I've really appreciated about your presentation is you're just very down to earth and you just put it out there very matter-of-factly.
You know, in many ways, growing up in the Midwest like I did in Kansas and Iowa was really quite a blessing because back in 1975 when I learned how to lucid dream, no one knew what I was talking about. I would tell my friends and my high school teachers, hey, I'm becoming consciously aware in my dreams. And they would tell me, oh, that's impossible. When we're dreaming, we're in the unconscious, and no one can be conscious within the unconscious. Or they'd tell me, no, I was having a dream about dreaming. But I always insisted, hey, I'm becoming aware in my dreams and realizing I'm dreaming. So the important thing that came to me was to learn to trust my own experience. Even though I might interpret it incorrectly, I still trusted my own experience and believed in that.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Robert. I'm going to let you have your dinner here. I apologize for the desperate measure of interrupting your dinner, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you at greater length sometime in the future. Okay, well, at last I'm sitting with Ron Malachek. Dr. Ron Malachek, who I've been hoping to get hold of. So, Ron, maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about your background and your work and what you're doing here at the conference.
Good. My name's Dr. Ron Malachek, and I gave a talk here at the conference on dream string theory and practice. I'm a psychologist and Jungian analyst in private practice in San Diego.
Right, and your presentation was very evocative because you were really drawing on the new physics.
That's right, and it's exciting to me. I made it clear I'm not a physicist, but there are tremendous implications everywhere from daily life, because anyone who uses a computer or a television nowadays is using quantum technology and quantum mechanics. But I talked about relevance to dreaming and consciousness of the last century's work in biology and in physics, particularly quantum mechanics, the particle experiments, and string theory, which is among the most intriguing, more recent developments.
And your presentation was really exciting, so I'm going to be chasing you down at some point, and we'll do a longer interview on Shrink Wrap Radio. I suppose the one thing we should acknowledge before I let you go is that our paths crossed way back in 1971. Want to say a little something about that?
We are both alumni of Sonoma State. I got my degree here in psychology and expressive arts, and then went on to get a PhD at Cornell. And David came here, I believe, to get a master's. Is that true, or was undergrad?
No, I came here as a faculty member in 71. Yeah.
How about that? Well, that's dating you. That's great. That's it. You're right. I remember that.
You can't date me. I'm already married.
That's true.
Thanks a lot, Ron.
Okay, we will do an exciting talk together on quantum mechanics, string theory, and their implications for dreaming, the dream world, and consciousness.
I look forward to that.
You're on the couch again with Dr. Dave. Shrink Wrap Radio is playing on again.
Shrink Wrap Radio. All the psychology you need to know, and just enough to make it dangerous. It's all in your head.
Some of you listening to this may be first-time listeners from the conference. If so, I hope I've made some new Shrink Wrap Radio listeners. You'll find lots of past and future content of interest in this series, and I'd love to hear from you. You can post a comment right on the website, or you can send me an email at shrink@shrinkwrapradio.com, or leave a voice message at 206-337-0622. Also, I'd be interested in hearing from my regular listeners how you feel about this conference sound-seeing format. Of course, I'll only do it very occasionally, but the American Psychological Association, their annual conference, will be meeting in San Francisco this year, and I've successfully registered as a journalist. So let me know if you'd like to hear something similar in terms of interviews from APA, or if you find it a turnoff, let me know that. Either way, I assure you that the bulk of future programs will focus on fascinating interviews with interesting people, as in the past, from around the very broad world of psychology, personal growth, human potential, spirituality, and so on. I think I'm going to wrap it up because there is one last event that happens every year with the conference, which is a Come As Your Dream Figure masquerade ball. And I've never attended, and I think maybe this year I'm actually going to do it. Come As Your Dream. And so I've got a dream, and I've got a little costume that I can make from that. And so I think I'll rush back over to Sonoma State and partake in that last event. I hear it's quite a fun and revelatory experience, so maybe I'll tell you about that on the next show. And by the way, don't forget about my other podcast interview series. There's a new interview up there with Dr. Lawrence Westreich, who's written, he's a psychiatrist, and he's written a book on helping families to help addicted family members. So I think you'll find that to be a very informative interview. And of course, you'll find that at www.wisecounselpodcast.com. I do have a bunch of listener email to catch up with, but I think we'll save that for a future show. As usual, I want to thank Podshow and GoDaddy for their sponsorship. Remember, you can use Shrink3 on checkout at GoDaddy.com and save money on all your domain name purchases. So thanks to everyone at the Dreams Conference who let me stick a mic in front of their face, and also to the IASD board for giving me permission to attend the conference as a journalist. In my next episode, we'll be taking a journey to the dark side, looking at the psychology of two infamous serial killers. I'll be interviewing Doug Oswell about his fascinating book, The Unabomber and the Zodiac. That's it for now. This is Dr. Dave saying, it's all in your mind.